Thank you very much for coming this morning, and happy Thanksgiving. And trust that you guys are probably all hoping that I don't speak a long time because you're worried about the turkey that's probably in the oven at the moment, and you're probably wondering about whether the guests arrive at home before I do, and that they've got a big clock up there for me, and so I'm well aware of the time, and I will watch it for you so that you don't have to. And that, and we will get all out of here, and we can be enjoying Thanksgiving here shortly. So thank you very much for coming. I've titled my message, Let Us Come With Thanksgiving, and I would like to this morning look into the book of Psalms. Now, I had a request that came to me this morning that I should be speaking on the book of Jonah, or at least on Jonah, and that came from my granddaughter wanting me to speak on Jonah this morning. And she didn't get to me in time. Or maybe I would have seen if I could talk on Thanksgiving from the book of Jonah. And I'm sure I probably could have just as well. And about what happens when you're not thankful as well. So thankful for that suggestion. And trust that I will encourage her to keep coming with those suggestions in the future as well. But I've titled my message, Let Us Come With Thanksgiving. And before I begin, let me open up with a word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you for this time that we have this morning to look into your word. We're asking for you to teach us and instruct us in your truth. And that Heavenly Father, that as we look into the life of David and some others as well, that we might learn how we might be thankful in the midst of adversity and conflict. And that Heavenly Father, that we might lead with a life of thanksgiving, not only in your presence, but from a result of in your presence, with in all of life as well. For we pray in your name, amen. David on many occasions refers to giving thanks to God. And so if you were to look into the book of Psalms, you would see that thanksgiving is a common theme throughout that book. And it's interesting why David would speak to that in his life. See, one of those references is in Psalm 34, verse 1. Where he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And then all of a sudden we look back into the story as we read there in 2 Samuel and Kings of David's life and ministry. And we son, where in his life can he be thankful? And here he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. And we look at David's life and we see, at all times? Surely you must mean something different to that. Maybe there must be some hidden meaning in that. As we examine our own lives and wonder, how can I bless the Lord at all times in my own life? And we often would say, well, that's a little difficult with what I'm going through at this present time. With the circumstances that God has in my life at the moment, I would find that really difficult. And so we need to look into David's life this morning and see, how can he be truthful with his statement, I will bless the Lord at all times? His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Because we know the circumstances of his life bear testimony that from an earthly perspective, thanksgiving would not have been the first thought of his heart. And I'm sure if those experiences came upon into my life, I would have a hard time being thankful for those as well. He was the youngest son and so was used to having the worst responsibilities laid on him. When Samuel came to visit the family to anoint the next after Saul, where was David? David was with the sheep. And usually that was the most humble job in the family. But yet David was faithful in that job. See, even Samuel thought that David's older brother Eliab was a sure specimen for the Lord's anointed in 1 Samuel 16, verse 6. If Samuel had to pick an individual that could follow Saul, then he thought, wow, Eliab fit the bill on that one. He had all those outer characteristics that we'd be looking for in a leader. Maybe he was tall. Maybe he had some great dynamic social skills as well. As all the other brothers passed before Samuel, Samuel was wondering if God's choice was one of them. But God was looking at the heart for his choice on who was to follow Saul as his chosen. So David began his ministry at God's anointed in Saul's court, playing the harp, and twice had to duck a spear coming at him. Thankful in all things? Wow, I'd find it awfully difficult at that moment. Then there were the years of running ahead of Saul's pursuits. Then there was the time when his team of men wanted to pick up stones to stone him when the Amalekites took their families into slavery. There were the days of leanness with having to use the showbread from the tabernacle to try and take care of their hunger. There were the days of living in the caves and wondering who was going to betray him. And maybe you can identify to some extent with David this morning in that your circumstances are less than praiseworthy or do not move you to thanksgiving at this time of year. And so as we take this time in Canada to have a day set aside for thanksgiving, maybe your thoughts are far from thanksgiving this morning as you deal with situations in your life. As we come to the day when we stop and formally celebrate Thanksgiving, it may just be a holiday from doing the usual, and you're struggling to find something that you can be thankful for. And so we need to examine David's life. As he has circumstances in his life that were less than ideal, less than from our perspective that would be able to be thanksgiving given towards them. And yet he was able to say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. See, the Word of God has laid out David's life for us as an example of how thanksgiving works and during the seasons of adversity. Job is another example of a person going through adverse circumstances. And he made this statement, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we all know the circumstances of Job and what he went through with the loss of his kids, the loss of all of his animals. Paul writes in Ephesians 5 and verse 20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And then we look back into 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and he lists there some of the things that he went through. Paul, are you honest with always giving thanks in all things? And we read there the adversity, and I'm sure not anyone here has gone through what Paul had to go through. But he was able to make the statement, I'm always giving thanks in all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to learn from these gentlemen. How is it possible to be thankful in all things? David shares some truths we need to take to heart in Psalm 95. And so if you have your Bibles this morning or your electronic versions, please, let's turn and read Psalm 95, starting at verse 1 and reading down to verse 7. Psalm 95, beginning at verse 1. O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, in whose hand are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for it was he who made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Paul, in this chapter, leads us into truths that we can be thankful for. And so four times in the first two verses, we see the phrase, let us. And what David wants to do is he wants to lead us as a group into thanksgiving. He wants to lead us into the presence of God himself, that we might be joyful, that we might come with thanksgiving. The description of our salvation is that of being a rock, giving certainty to our salvation. The rock is the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what can we be thankful for this morning as we look here at the life of David? And David could be thankful that God was his rock. God was not only his rock, he was the rock of his salvation. And it pictures the security that David felt with who God is and who the one that was holding his salvation. The call of God to his people is, come, that we might collectively sing with thanksgiving before his presence. So in the midst of adversity, do you ever stop and say, thank you, God, that my salvation is secure because it rests in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we ever stop to say, thank you, God, that in the midst of whatever I am going through and the seemingly insurmountables that are happening in my life at this present time, are we thankful that our security does not rest in myself or does not rest in another person? It rests in God himself. And he pictures it as a rock, and it is secure. He is present with his people, and our relationship is face to face. We also have the opportunity to be thankful before God's face. And so he invites us into his presence. He invites us to come before him and with thanksgiving. He invites us to bring our concerns and our cares before him. Joy is as much a characteristic of true worship as solemnity is itself. Thankfulness is appropriate because there is much to be thankful for. He has already mentioned the surety of our salvation, and in the next verses he will mention several others as well. We often forget, we lose sight of the fact of what we can be thankful for. And so he continues down this chapter, and we can be thankful that our Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In our days when an ecumenical cohesion has taken effect, our God is on the throne and he is sovereign, and he is the only one whereby we must be saved. There is a movement afoot, if you've been watching the news, to seek to bring all these different faiths together. And what they are forgetting is that God himself, the only God, is a sovereign God. And he is king over all, and he is the king over all gods. Amid uncertainty around us and the fear that is seeking to overwhelm us, we can rest that he is over all, and everything and everyone answers to him. Are we resting this morning in the midst of uncertainties? Are we resting in God, that he is God, that he is the God over all gods? Not only are we thankful that he is on the throne, but that he is great, and not only in power, but also in character. Because it could say that for the Lord is God and a great king above all gods, but he says the Lord is a great God. And imagine what David is seeking to describe there, not only in power, but also in character. That as we get to know who our God is, as we sit at his feet and we learn from him, that we gain an aspect of who he is and his character in my life as well. The sovereign God, the great king, is the one who holds the depths of the earth in his hand. The peaks of the mountain are his, and the sea as well. And the dry land was formed by his hands. Not only is he the creator of all that we have as our dwelling place today and through the centuries, but he is the one who is holding it. There's fear upon many people that our environment is on shaky ground. But we have failed to believe and rest in the fact that this world rests in the hand of our sovereign God. There's a great topic that is all over the news that is seeming to cause fear that we are on dangerous ground as this world from an environmental standpoint. And that is not denying the fact that God gave us the responsibility to keep and till this earth. And we should be looking after it. And we have a responsibility to care for what God has given to us. But we have failed in the realization, and we have not iterated the message enough, that it is God who is sovereign. That it is God who is holding the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, and it was he who made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Do we stop and say, thank you, God, that the earth is yours and you're holding it? Yes, there's multiple things going around and happening today in the news, and it's coming at us fast and furious. And for many of us, it's causing fear and anxiety as we look at that. What's going to happen? Is tomorrow going to be all right? Can we stop today and say, thank you, God, that in the midst of this, which seemingly you are allowing, that you are the one that has your hand on this situation, this earth, and that it is yours. Our fear and anxiety have clouded our minds from thanksgiving and distracted us from the opportunity in who we can worship and that we can bow before him. Our hearts are no longer upon worship, but upon grumbling and complaining over the injustices around us, or that God has seemingly overlooked us for his blessing. No longer do we come with thanksgiving. Often, probably, when we come before the Lord and say, God, would you deal with this situation? God, would you take care of that? And you know what? God is a loving God who desires to hear from his children and wants to hear from his children. But have we forgotten to come before him with thanksgiving? Do we know what we can be thankful in? Too often as we look at our lives and we look around and say, we've forgotten exactly where thanksgiving fits into the uncertainties that we are facing. And so David wants to remind us today some things we can be thankful for. God, thank you that my salvation is secure. Thank you, God, that you are on the throne and that you are sovereign. David's call for us today is, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. May we be reminded of all that we have been blessed with, not only on Thanksgiving, but every day of the year. And so too often what we do is we come to Thanksgiving, we stop a moment and say, thank you for, you know, what all that you've done through over this year. You got me through. Obviously, I survived this long. Maybe I can at least be thankful for that. But we have much that we need to be reminded of that we can be thankful in. But David is not done reminding us in the blessings we can be thankful for. See, it continues on that it says, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his pasture. The imagery of a shepherd and sheep is mentioned throughout the Word of God. John 10 gives us the picture of the shepherd of the sheep calling out his sheep and leading them to the choice pasture land and the care he has for them. We can go to multiple other passages as well, and we can see the picture of our Lord as the shepherd. And here he wants to remind us again that we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. See, he's not only the Lord, the King, above all gods, but he is my God. How does that hit you this morning? When we stop and say, he is my God. Yes, he is the sovereign God above all the earth. But he is my God. Does that impact us? If you have come in faith and repentance, and he has taken up residence with you, then he is your God as well. And we can be thankful before him. Thank you, God, that you are my God. And I belong to you. He is sovereignly directing his possession, and we look to him to be God over the affairs and circumstances of this, his life. God is sovereign over all adversity and all prosperity. Everything that is allowed into our lives is either from his hand directly or is filtered through his hands of perfect love and infinite wisdom. The adversity that we are facing, for whatever reason God has seemingly allowed it into our lives, whether it's from him directly or whether he's filtered it through his hands and allowed it circumstances to come into our life. Now, obviously, that is balanced against sin and the consequences of sin in our life as well, and the need that we have to come in forgiveness for those things. We can give thanks in everything because he is still on the throne and still in control. Too often we would like to dictate to God what he needs to do and how soon he should do it. No longer are we letting God be God over the affairs of my life. David states that children of God are the sheep of his hand, picturing the individual care for each of his sheep. And so as you look into John chapter 10 there, as he calls out his sheep, we hear his voice, the sheep go forward into the pasture land. And we see the whole picture of the care the shepherd has for each of his individual sheep there. And we can be thankful that he cares for us. God wants us to know that during uncertainties and seeming injustices, there is much to be thankful for. His life bore testimony of injustice and less than ideal circumstances, but he came before the presence of God with thanksgiving. But then he continues on in Psalm 92, verse 1. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Now, what does he mean? It is good to give thanks to the Lord. Giving thanks is good. It is good as it is due God. When we stop to realize all that he has done, firstly, in creating this world in an unimprovable state for mankind to dwell in, then to provide a deliverer for mankind in the fullness of time, whereby we could enter into a personal relationship with a future that is secure, is beyond understanding. That is just the beginning to all that God has provided for us. And it is good because God is due our praises and is due our thanksgiving. It is good because it is a desirable state of mind. It tends to happiness, contentment, peace. An attitude of gratitude is a wonderful weapon against unbelief, disobedience, a hard heart, and a bitter spirit. A gloomy mind makes all things around gloomier. An unthankful mind is an unhappy mind. A murmuring, complaining, dissatisfied mind makes its possessor wretched and all around him miserable. When we can't be thankful for anything, then we are a miserable, wretched person, and probably a person that others would rather not be around. Gratitude is not a feeling that dictates your choices. It is a choice that affects your feelings. Most of the New Testament passages on gratitude are imperatives. It's addressed to our volition rather than to our emotions. So why would God command us to be thankful? Because we need to make a choice that we're going to be thankful. Too often what we think is that I first of all have to have that feeling of thanksgiving before I can be thankful. And we need to be reminded this morning, we need to be thankful before we have that feeling. Because God states it is a volition that we need to make in our lives, a decision that we need to make in our lives to be thankful. The feelings will come and will follow in behind. He is not prescribing for us how we must feel. He is calling on us to choose to rejoice and thank God based on what is true, regardless of how happy or thankful we may feel. And so whether you are thankful or not this morning, God is asking you, commanding you, you need to be thankful. And can we go before him with thanksgiving in our hearts? Yes, we can be honest because God sees our hearts. God, I'm not very thankful this morning. And you're going to have to change my heart into thanksgiving. But I just want to stop and thank you that you're God and I'm not. I just want to stop and thank you, God, that I'm yours and I'm one of the sheep of your pasture. I don't agree with how you necessarily are leading me. It wouldn't be my choice. But God, I'm thankful that it's your choice because I've learned who God is and I know that it is for his glory and it's for my best. Now that's hard to say, and I'd rather not say that. But as we come before him, we can leave it with God, and it's interesting, it's even miraculous how often God changes my heart in behind. He lets me see a different perspective. Maybe it might be years later before I see the perspective. But because as I've walked with my Heavenly Father through the years, I've grown in my understanding of who he is, and I can trust him. That his ways are perfect, his ways are just, and I know that he is working all things out for my good and his glory. That is why if you wait until you feel grateful to thank God, you will feel less and less gratified. But if you choose to thank God, regardless of how you feel, you will feel more grateful more often. It is good as it tends to lessen the real troubles and afflictions of life, to dwell on those things for which we should be thankful for. If we change our perspective and learn to focus on the thanksgiving instead of the turmoil, often it is good. Gratitude is a thermometer which indicates the state of our spiritual health. A thermometer is a tool that tells you whether you have one of the symptoms of physical illness, a fever. It is not a medicine. The presence or absence of gratitude in your dealings with God is one of the most reliable indicators of your spiritual health. This is because it, along with serving love, is the normal and natural result of personally understanding and receiving God's grace. We can't control the circumstances of life, but we can control how we respond to them. We cannot give thanks to God from the heart unless we are submissive to his sovereign hand in our circumstances. And we believe that he is working even our trials together for our ultimate good. See, the opposite of giving thanks in all things is grumbling and murmuring, an attitude and a response. An attitude of grumbling, a response of murmuring from it, and how quick we are to look at different experiences that come into our lives and we grumble about them. We were heading out to a birthday party yesterday, and for some seeming reason, my car just quit on the side of the road. Wow, it'd be so easy just to murmur and grumble about that. The thing has worked perfect all these times. Why at this time? This had to happen. And it would have been so easy to come with murmuring. And thank goodness there were some other people around, and I didn't want to murmur in front of them, or maybe I would have. So just to let you know that I'm still working on my attitude often when it comes to experiences, even in my own life. Philippians 2, 14 and 15. Do all things without grumbling or disputing so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in this world. Non-grumbling is not optional. And it is not a suggestion, as we read here. Paul is commanding non-grumbling to be the believer's continual response. It is a present imperative, meaning that we are to be presently not grumbling as a command that he's given to us. Remember that when you murmur about your circumstances in the final analysis, you're murmuring against the one who has designed every circumstance in your life. So when the urge to murmur comes over you, and the old flesh will always urge you in that direction, as we read in Galatians 5, verse 17, remember that you need to view the adverse circumstances with eyes of faith and the eternal perspective, 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18, asking the question, is God still on the throne, even in this circumstance? For whatever reason, I don't know why, and maybe I probably never will, why my car had to break down. It was great that it broke down exactly where it was, because it was just a short little tow to the shop. And hopefully I can get it fixed without too much expense. So I can be thankful that it happened where it did and not somewhere further away. It's easy to murmur, and the flesh fights against the spirit. Then make the volitional choice to give thanks in everything. Worship and worry cannot live in the same heart. They are mutually exclusive. Now, he doesn't say in the Word of God, be thankful for everything. It's awfully difficult to be thankful for everything, but in everything we can give thanks. In the midst of adversity, we can still find opportunity to thank the Lord. We can come into his presence and say, God, I don't understand why this, why that. But God, I'm going to make the choice to be thankful to you that you're overseeing this, that you're on the throne and in control. We now know how David, Job, and Paul could give thanks amid adversity. They realized that through the circumstances were not their choice for their path. God was on the throne and holding the earth in his hand, and that he was also holding them and directing them through the pasture of life, and they were securely held and cared for. Paul, remember, three times asked the Lord to remove that thorn in his flesh, and God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And then Paul said, I'd rather glory in my weakness. Wow, can I glory in my weakness? Thank you, God, that you didn't give me this or that, and I sure would love to have it. Are we thankful for what God has given to us? Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving today. But not only today, let's be thankful every day, as David has reminded us once again. God, thank you that in everything I can give thanks. And thank you that I can come before your presence with thanksgiving today. And those are some things that we can be thankful for. And so may God show you those in your own life. And as you take opportunity to come into his presence, may you come with a thankful heart today and in the days ahead. Let me just close this time in a word of prayer, and then I'm going to call the worship team forward. And they'll play us a song before we enjoy communion together. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for who you are, for your character. And thank you that you have opened up your character for us to learn about. And as you walk with us in this life, we learn more about you, the shepherd, and your care for us. So thank you for your care, and thank you for your love for us. And we just come before your presence this morning saying thank you, God, for you being God and us being your people. We pray this in your name. Amen.